everybody. What's Hope up? Everybody's recovered from last night's show.
Yeah.
I didn't actually get all that drunk last night. I guess that Irish cream knockoff stuff wasn't that alcoholic.
Yeah.
I was like a little bit drunk, but not that drunk.
I got loaded.
Yes, I noticed. Yeah.
It's fine, though.
Yeah, I decided to leave because the show ended up being in two parts on the video, obviously, because our stream got cut off at about 3 hours in. I decided to leave the videos the way they are because it would just take too long for me to, like, download the videos and then edit them together and then upload it back again. But the audio version, I actually did put all the audio together. So if you listen to us over audio, then you'll hear it as one continuous show with, like, at the end of the first thing, I'm like, what happened? And then, like, a couple seconds later, I come back and be like, okay, it all fucked up, you know?
Yeah.
So it all kind of went
together.
Something
about our internet connection was really bad yesterday. It's a lot better right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I kept getting, because if you're streaming, like, on YouTube, you know, it'll say, like, how good your connection is. Like, today I have excellent connection. Last night I kept getting poor connection, like a little yellow light all the time.
Yeah.
So
there's some kind of problem with the big tech firms, you know, they're doing shit right now.
It's weird. I didn't have a problem on either of my other two computers with the internet. It was just on this one. I'm not really sure why, because I did shit on the other two computers all day long and didn't have a problem. But for some reason, the laptop that we stream on was just kind of like, nope, not having it. Hmm. But yeah, so we were just discussing, because I know all of you guys that were here last night, we were talking about doing essentially like a Sidetracks show again and maybe doing that once a week and doing it in the evening. The same as we do the regular shows, but not having a topic, so we can just kind of, like, go off and do whatever the fuck we want. I would propose, since I don't necessarily want to, because I like kind of having 2 days where we don't stream so I can have a break. I mean, I do put recorded shit up on those days, but I like having 2 days where I can have a break and not have to stream. So I feel like maybe what we should do is not do a movie review on Wednesday, and instead do, like, a topicless stream on, like, Wednesday evening, like, at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah. You mean a free stream. It doesn't have a topic.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just interactive.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe it might have something to do with a current event just to open the show or something. Something like that. You know, it's just going to be a situational, like, AMSR, therapeutic fucking stream's gonna have fucking music going in the background, probably like vaporwave or some kind of music, and it's just gonna be fun stream. They would just drink and talk shit. It's gonna be funny, I think.
I thought Wednesday evening would be good because it's like the middle of the week, like halfway in between.
Yeah.
And we were already doing a movie review on Wednesday, and I was like, well, we don't have to do a movie review on Wednesday. Yeah. We can just do like a topicless, like a free form show Wednesday evening. Then we can have a drink and it's like halfway
we'll
in between.
Answer questions about the paranormal or fucking unsolved mysteries, just anything.
Can just talk about anything and not worry about, then I won't have to worry about taking notes. And we won't have to watch as many movies during the week if we don't want to.
It's actually, it takes load off of us, and I think you guys would like it more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. And I just think that would be a good, you know.
Right.
That'd be a good
evening. I wanted to have really good audio visual to it. Like, I'm going to have the shit set up in the back.
Speaking of which, you didn't turn the party laser on.
Oh, yeah, hold on.
Turn the party laser on.
Yeah, we're going to start the fucking party. Oh, that's right. I forgot. I got to plug it in.
Yeah. You have to unplug it because it is plugged in. You just have it off on the back. Yeah. We just always have to turn it off because it has a fan and it makes, like, a really loud noise. The fan is really loud for whatever reason.
Turn that light off.
Woo! Look at it go.
Slow that bitch down. There you go. I like it slow. I like it slow. Okay, there you go.
Tom's a black man in a white man's body.
Exactly. Who said that shit?
I don't know. I did. Who said that? I just said it, Tom.
It's fucking good. It's an accurate description.
It is. All right, so let me talk about this movie, and then if you want to talk about some stuff, because you didn't really see this movie. I think you just saw the very, very tail end.
Yeah, no, I was busy.
And you didn't know, like, what was going on, so it didn't really...
Yeah, what was I doing at the time? I was cooking.
You were either cooking or you were in the gym or...
Yeah, gym, I think. I came back
It had already been...
And
it was, like, already almost over. Because it was not a super long movie. It was only 93 minutes. It was only an hour and a half or something like that. So this is a Netflix original. called His House. And I'd been meaning to watch this for a really long time. And then, but I kept, you know, finding other things. And I was just like, oh, this looks good or whatever. And then I was watching a whole bunch of other horror channels. And a lot of people had this on their, you know, best horror of the year list. So I'm like, okay, well, I have to sit down and watch it now. So I just went ahead and watched it. And I will say, I can see why a lot of people put this on their best of horror list, because this was pretty fucking good. Yeah. So basically, here's the story, and I don't want to, because this is new, this is from 2020, I think it originally premiered at, like, Sundance or something like that, but I think Netflix maybe put it up just a month or two ago. It's hasn't been up that long. So basically, so I'm not gonna spoil it, because there is some shit in here that, you know, it would kind of, you know. So the story is, there's this couple, Bol and Rial, and they are from Sudan. And they are seeking asylum in the UK, in London. So they basically, they get there, and you're led to believe that during the journey over, the boat they were on capsized, and they lost their daughter, Naya. So, but this has happened like a year ago. I guess they've been like in a detention facility or whatever. And then finally, like, the authorities are like, okay, you know, congratulations, you know, we're going to give you a little bit of a house and a little bit of a stipend, and you're on like probation to see if you can stay or whatever. And they give them this big long list of rules, you know, shit you can and can't do and stuff like that. So they go to this house, which is actually really large, but it's in like really shitty condition. There's like all this garbage in front of it, and like all the fucking, it's, you know, it, and the electricity isn't on, but they're like, oh, we'll fix it, but they never fix it. So the guy has to fix it himself. But it very shortly turns out, as they are trying to get kind of acclimated to this new country and this, you know, house that they're living in, you know, this is a culture that's very alien to them. So while they're getting acclimated to that, probably within the first 10-15 minutes, turns out that this house, not surprisingly, is fucking haunted. Now, the interesting thing about this, I really, really like, in a lot of ways, it's like a haunted house story, but they kind of went a different direction with it, in the sense that this house is haunted by something called an apeth, I think they call it. Essentially, it's called a night witch. And this is sort of like a demon or some kind of spirit or something that attaches itself to you when you've done something fucked up, in the sense that you've stolen something, because that's kind of one of the stories that she tells about, you know, about it, that, you know, it attaches itself to a thief or something. So the interesting thing is, this whole movie, you're seeing all this creepy shit like happening in their house, and all the ghosts and shit like that are really, really creepy. Like, cause they start like coming out of the walls and like all this kind of fucking, you know, creepy shit happening. And so, but you find out that there is a reason that this spirit has attached itself to them, because at first, I'm not going to spoil it, like I said, but what you were led to believe about what happened when they came over, at first, is not entirely the case. So when you find out later what really happened, it puts into context why this particular demon or spirit or whatever it is has attached itself to them, and, you know, what they have to do to fight it. So I think, like, the cool thing about this, it's like a haunted house story, but it also has like a much deeper meaning to it that's, you know, kind of about grief, about establishing a new life and shit like that. But it doesn't do it like in a real ponderous or in your face kind of way. It's still scary, and it's still, you know, it has really great creepy imagery, has really, really great characters that you really feel for. And it has just really great, I love some of the imagery is like kind of surrealist. You know what I mean? Like, there's one part where Bol like is like sitting at the table, and all of a sudden he perceives that he's just in the, you know, sitting at the table, and there's like a piece of a wall, and then like behind him it's like the ocean, and then like all these fucking zombies like start coming up out of the ocean and stuff. So it has like all these really cool visuals like that are kind of surrealistic. I also really like some of the little touches, like there's one scene where Rial goes out and she's trying to find the doctor's office, and like the guy from the council or whatever has drawn her this little map. And she's trying to find it, but she can't get out of the estate it's almost kind of, and it almost gave me like a weird vivarium kind of vibe for a second, because she's like walking around the wall and then there's a kid like kicking a soccer ball against the wall, and then she's like, what? And that's a dead end, and then she goes back this way and now the kid's kicking the soccer ball, but he's like on this side now, like how the fuck did he get over there? So it's like this really cool, you know, it's almost like a visual representation of how like alienated she feels, you know, how weird this place is, and she can't like figure it out. And so I like those little like surrealist touches like that. But yeah, this was a really, really good one. I enjoyed this one a lot. Like I said, the characters were great. The acting was great. And this was actually the first, movie that was written and directed by, what is their name? I saw it up here. Oops, whoops. Okay, now never mind, I don't know. I thought I had it written down, but I guess not. I don't know, I'll find it out. Weeks is their last name. Yeah. But yeah, so this is their first movie, and it's like really, really good. This has been getting a lot of buzz, and I can totally see why. I really, really like the I really like the ghosts, because there's a shit ton of them, and the dude that is the apath, like, you don't see him really until, like, fully until the end, and it's, like, the makeup on it is fucking amazing. And it's the same guy, he's that Spanish guy that was in the Slender Man movie, and he's been in Guillermo del Toro movies and stuff like that, because he's, like, super scrawny, so they always put him in, like, those monster outfits and stuff, and he looks fucking great in this. Like, the makeup and shit is really, really good. But yeah, this is really, if you have Netflix and you haven't watched this one yet, I mean, I liked it a lot, so I would recommend it if you want kind of a little bit of a different spin on a haunted house story. You know, I thought it was like pretty cool, pretty creepy.
I didn't even get to see it.
I know. Not well,
really. I can't give an opinion on it.
Mango asked, Matt Smith is in it. Yeah, he's not in it a shit ton. He was one of the Doctor Who's, right? Yeah, he's in it. He's like the guy, the main guy that's like coordinating their, you know, their council shit. So he's maybe in like 3 or 4 scenes or something like that. But yeah, he is in it. So like a little bit at the beginning and the end.
They're asking me about the Conan picture. Yeah, there's a skull in it. And then there's like a Grim Reaper over there with the skull, and he's got a hood on it. There's kind of like, when it's got normal lighting on it, it's not real visible from what I remember. I haven't had normal lighting on in a long time. But there's just kind of like spirits of the dead and, you know, the specter of death over him, you know. And then he's standing on top of a mountain of dead bodies and skulls, and he's got his fucking hot little princess on him. It was it was the cover to one of the books that, yeah. Frazetta did. Frazetta was a commercial artist. He did covers for all kinds of stuff. But I've never read, you know, somebody asked me if I'd ever read any Conan books, like from the original author. No, I haven't.
Robert E. Howard.
Yeah, never read any of it. There's a lot of difference. But I kind of grew up watching the movies and the old Marvel comic books.
Yeah.
Because I was a kid, you know, when I was reading that shit. But I don't like reading anymore. My eyes aren't very good. And after my head injury, my eyeballs kind of jump around from one line to the next. I have a hard time doing it. And then after like a day of reading, I'll put it down and forget to continue reading. I have to continue to remember myself to go back and read it. But
yeah, because I gave you that Billy Idol book.
I got about halfway through
it. And you seemed like you were really into it. And then I forgot about it.
You forgot
it existed.
Well, it seems like, you know, you're, at least for me, my real reading time, you know what I mean, the era in which I read a lot of books was like between 16 and 19. I read a lot of fucking books during that. Then joined the army and stopped reading. Then I just did, you know. Read the internet now.
I used to read a lot of books, and then for a few years I kind of didn't because I had a lot of other projects and I didn't have time. That's why deliberately I started doing the new show, because I was like, man, I really need to get back into fucking reading again, because I used to really like enjoy that. So I guess that, I mean, and I like reading physical books. I will read an ebook, and I have done, but I way prefer like reading an actual physical book, so I will actually buy it rather than
reading books is like an entertainment medium of its own, you know. I used to really enjoy it because you're imagination could take you.
Yeah, you just get immersed and you just in your own head. Right. It's like, it's cool. I like it.
Stephen King had tripped me out. I read most of that damn Gunslinger series. I think I read like 3 or 4 of those books. I never finished the whole series though, but the Dark Tower series. And
I don't think I did either. Now that you mention it.
And then I was reading a bunch of history books. I read the entire decline and fall of the Roman Empire. Not the little abridged one, but the fucking 3 huge fucking books. That was fucking tough to get through. Just, you see how history just repeats itself over and over again, and you think, oh yeah, here's more of the same
shit.
And then a new guy would appear in history, and you go, oh, I bet you he'll make a difference, and no, he gets killed. Fucking, he gets killed like a couple paragraphs
that guy.
Later.
They're like, this is the worst movie ever.
Yeah, he gets killed a couple paragraphs later, and you're going like, damn. And Gibbon, I think his name was Edward Gibbon, who wrote that. And,
yeah, it was, or Gibbon or Gibbons.
Gibbon or Gibbons, yeah, and you know. The preface, you know, talking about how he went through all the damn manuscripts and looked at all the manuscripts that survived in the, up in the attics of the fucking European nobility that went all the way, but they'd been keeping it from all the way back to the Roman days, passed down, you know, it's fucking, because they had still had books left over. He's writing in the 1700s.
Yeah.
And then all the statues he'd looked at, and he talked about that some of the statues were squirreled away, and he couldn't see them, you know what I mean? They wouldn't let him, like the owners would not even let him see the damn statue. Maybe he lied about having statues, but he wanted to know what these people looked like, you know? And but it's just, that was an interesting, I think it was 3 books. They were, each one of them was over 1,000
pages.
Yeah,
if I remember correctly.
Yeah, hardcover. And then, but after you get up to a certain age, it's kind of like, for me, I kind of burned out on that medium. I don't know why. You become more physically active, I think. More physically involved with life. I did, because I was in the Army. And that was it. You know what I mean? After that, I liked movies and audiobooks and doing my own shit. You know, instead of reading about other people's shit.
It's weird, though, because I don't really... I'll listen to audiobooks if it's kind of short. Like, I don't mind listening to, like, short stories and stuff like that. But if I don't like listening to novels in an audiobook because my mind will wander. If I'm actually reading it myself, then I'm able to, like, you know, get immersed in it and, you know, my imagination goes crazy and stuff. And Seth was saying earlier, it's, like, disappointing when you read a book and then the movie comes out and it never looks like what it looked like in your head. Which, yeah, that's something that I've tangled with, like, pretty much all the time. I think if you guys watched... Did I post it already? The review that I did of that book, The Ruins by Scott Smith... That was one that I actually saw the movie first, and then later I was kind of like, oh, that's a book. I should read that because so many people recommended it because, like, the book is really good. And the book is really good. The book's, like, amazing. But I really, really wish that I had read the book before I saw the movie. The movie's pretty good, too. And the movie... But I think that since I saw the movie first, that was kind of informing my reading of it. That's, like, how I pictured all the characters, even though they changed some of the characters up from the book to the movie. But... That's, you know, I kind of wish... What I'm trying to think of one really egregious... Oh, I remember what it was. I read that gigantic doorstop of a book, Atonement. Who wrote that? Ian McEwan, I want to say. And it's like, it was so good. Like, I loved that fucking book. And then the movie came out. And one thing that I notice, if I've read the book and then I go and see the movie... Like, the movie was good, but... It seems like everything in the movie, like, happened, like, right away. And I was like, wait, what? Is this happening already? Because in the book, it took such a long time, like, and, you know, all this shit, like, developed and everything. But then in the movie, it seems like everything's just happening, like, too quickly, but because they have to cram everything in there. So I think that's kind of something that, I mean, a book that long, it seems kind of difficult to, it needs a series.
Victor said he was listening to the Unseen Hand audiobook while he was driving around doing home health stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah. That's Unseen Hand's a creepy fucking collection of stuff. It's even creepier when you've seen it. You're seeing that phenomena yourself. But, yeah. Although, you know, I worked with you through that whole thing. I don't think I've actually listened to the audiobook.
No, you probably haven't.
Yeah.
I mean, I have it somewhere.
Yeah.
Be a trip. If you want to listen to it. You know, I've actually started enjoying reading audiobooks. It's been, you know, I enjoy doing the Witching Hour show, too, because I really, really like all those old, like, creepy ghost stories and stuff, and I really, really like reading those. And I feel like my reading has gotten a lot better You know,
so I gotta go back and finish the Billy Idol fucking autobiography.
I know. When did I bought you that for Christmas, like a year and a half ago, or your birthday, or something?
I think it was
like
my birthday.
Yeah, I think you got it for your birthday, not your last birthday. It was the birthday before.
Was it? It just, man, time goes by so fast. I'm gonna be dead soon anyway, man. It's going by so fast.
That's
for
the
me.
Spirit.
Yeah, I'll be dead. I don't really have a concept of time, you know, anymore. The older you get, the faster this shit fucking flies by. I don't even care though. I don't care.
Well, it's not like there's, like I said, there's not like there's anything you can do about it. It's not like you can stop time.
Yeah, yeah. I'm more afraid of just getting old and infirm than death. I don't give a shit about death. I'm just going to have that out-of-body experience. I've had it before.
Well, yeah, that's what I think.
One with the force.
Honestly, I think most people are more, if you really kind of drill down, I think most people are more afraid of like pain or long-term suffering than they are of actual death.
Yeah, or just getting so old you can't do anything. But I've noticed that some people, when people get that old, they're not real mentally active anyway. They're just, it's kind of like they start shutting down.
Yeah.
They're mentally shutting down.
Because it's your brain being like, yeah, we're
out.
I'm
checking
it.
So it's kind of like part of the dying
process. Let's turn off all the lights on the way out. It's kind of like that.
It's like a slow motion. But to them, it probably doesn't feel like it's in slow motion. I bet you their sense of time is so shot. From their point of view, it feels like they fucking shut down and died in a matter of a few days, probably.
Yeah.
They probably just feel real sleepy.
Yeah.
Like a waking dream. I don't know.
Sandra asked, do I still record the stuff while I'm sitting in the wardrobe? I do record in the closet still. I don't usually do the witching hour show in there because it's like kind of a big production. I usually just do that right at my desk. Yeah. But yeah, we turned the closet into a sound booth.
Yeah.
And so now, because it used to be we just had like muffled fucking blankets and shit So I had to like crawl in there and it was like 400 degrees. It's so ridiculous. Yeah. I can't fucking believe that we did that.
Yeah.
But like, so the inside of the closet now has all that that egg carton-y, you know, foam. Kind of all on the inside.
I insulated the whole inside, put a shelf so she
And then you put a shelf
and,
so I can put my laptop and then the microphone comes down from the ceiling.
Yeah.
So it's all set up in there. I don't have to let go. So I just go in there, put my laptop on the shelf and I can actually stand because I told him, I was like, I don't like to sit like that while I'm recording because I feel like it's not, I like to be able to move around and stand up. So, it's a lot, but it's still kind of hot in there in the summertime, but what are you going to do? You know, at least I don't have to sit in there like under a whole shit ton of quilts.
That was funny. That's funny when we had to do it like that.
I know. And like you would come in there like over the door and I'd be like, we can.
I remember when we first bought a microphone, we were like, man, $40 for a microphone. That's expensive. Remember that? That shit sounded like shit.
It did, yeah.
Yeah, it sounded like shit. So we ended up having to... Now we look at a microphone, if it's fucking under 100, you're like, oh, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, you know, it's like we have a couple of these Yetis, and these were, what, 80, 90, 100, something like that. And then the one that I use for audiobooks, because I just use this for Witching Hour, and we just use this for the show, but the one I use for audiobooks, which has to be better... Is what the fuck's the name of it? I can't remember the name of the brand. But
it's
that,
a good one. It's a
that one was
mic.
Almost $300. Yes.
You know, we ought to go ahead and get the other microphone out. We can run two microphones at once, can't we?
I don't know.
We thought one of them was bad, but it wasn't bad. It was a software issue. Remember?
Yeah.
And it might be better if I had one of them over here.
I'll have to check and see how that'll work because...
I don't know. Do you guys ever have any problems hearing me? I don't know what it sounds like if people are on headphones or whatever, but maybe it's good enough.
Yeah, it's usually not. I mean, as long as you aren't, like, walking around the room back there, it's like we can still hear you. It's just, it just gets a little tinny, like, if you move back farther.
All right.
But, because generally, I have it on the settings... I have it on, like, the heart-shaped thing, so it's just recording, like, in a cone right here, pretty much.
Yetis aren't great microphones. They're just a good web microphone. So
it's a good, inexpensive, you get a decent sound with it.
Right.
But like I said, this one, I have done audiobooks with this one before, but it's not quite as good. So I usually use, and I can't fucking remember, it's Red.
I forgot what the name of it.
I can't remember, it starts with
an
S.
It's got the big professional cords, fucking.
Yeah, and it's got the pop filter attached to it and all that other kind of
stuff. It's got a fucking box that goes through there that's like a filter and does all kinds of stuff. Noise filters, I forgot what all that shit's called. It's not real complicated, you just have to preset it. It's something you can actually, what's it called, RDA? I forgot what it's called. It's a different format. It's professional,
a couple years ago,
it'll plug into a soundboard if you had to.
Yeah.
And do professional.
So I just keep that one in there all the time because that's like just for audiobooks.
I mean, it's not as nice as something that, you know, $1,000 microphone, but fucking you don't need $1,000 microphone to do an audiobook.
I don't have $1,000 to spend on a microphone.
You don't need $1,000.
No, you don't. I think up to a certain price point. Like I said, now the one that guy, I think that one was almost $300. Yeah. And that one does sound better than the Yeti, but I think once you get into the $300-$400 range, I don't think it's going to get that much better. No. Like if you spend more money,
you'd have to be a fucking professional classical singer in a fucking real super high tech studio to really get any advantages off of $1,000 microphone.
Yeah, I mean really have.
You'd
to
have to be an opera singer
or something,
and you'd have to have a fucking. You know, 300 is good enough. It's real close to like a 400 or a 500. It's not a big difference.
Yeah, that's what I figured. And like I said, I haven't had any issues with the sound ever since I'd started doing audiobooks with those. Like I haven't been kicked back or anything.
Yeah, and we had to get rid of all the old recordings. We replaced them all.
Yeah.
All the old audiobooks.
I'm pretty sure I did all of them or most of them.
Yeah, I don't think there are any of them out there that are still in the old recordings because they sounded tinny.
Yeah.
Even though some of those complaints from the old versions of the recorder are still on those shows. But that's just part of the game.
Yeah. Well, and I put in the description that the audio had been updated as of whatever the day it was.
Yes, they sound a lot better than they used to.
Yeah. All right, so you ready to...
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Wrap it up. You got to go find Pookie. She like she went outside, and she's like, I'm going to go hide. Bye. So we don't know where she went to. She was trying to scratch her way out this morning. I don't know why. She must have seen a bird or some shit out
there. Victor Garcia had a fucking flashback to fucking R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet. That was fucking on South Park, wasn't it? Tom Cruise had to come out of the closet.
That's right.
That's fucking funny, man.
Yeah, that was like the Scientology episode or whatever.
Well, yeah, they were saying Tom Cruise was gay.
Well,
And then another one that people forgot about was Gay Fish. Remember Gay Fish? The song Gay Fish. It was a ripoff on Kanye West, and he's singing about he's actually a gay fish.
Oh, yeah.
And he's making love with the other fish. And it's hilarious.
I remember that.
You can find it on YouTube.
Sandra asked, how's gay Beijing? Fish.
She's a lot better.
She's doing a lot better. She's still like, she hates...
She's on that medicine, yeah.
She took the liquid medicine. The liquid medicine, that's...
It's gone.
We went through all that already. She still has to take those blue pills though. Yeah. And she hates it.
Yeah,
oh,
she hates eating those
every
pills.
Day. Like, she knows as soon as you come and get her. She's just like, no.
She knows she has to do it, though, and I think she knows it makes her feel better.
Yeah.
Those pills, I was reading up on them, and what they do is they help fucking liver function a lot, and they can regenerate a liver. And they do something about, they help remove toxins from the bloodstream. So that's why she feels better.
Yeah, she even, she's been bringing the babies out like usual. Other day I came out of my office and she, like, was around the corner and she snuck out and was like, wow, like she used to do.
Yeah, they give them to dogs. And I saw some reviews. A lot of people said that, you know, like within a few months that their dogs and cats regained full liver function after a couple months.
I really, really hope.
Hopefully we'll see.
Yeah, because she seems like, she seems right back to normal.
You can keep them on those pills the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
If the liver doesn't really
recover.
And
they're not super expensive, so.
Yeah, they're not expensive.
Yeah, I really hope she's going to be okay.
Yeah. She's an old cat, and I'm spending fucking tens of thousands of dollars on a liver transplant.
Well, you know, I know
if
that,
if she gets
but...
real sick, we'll just put her down. She's old.
I know.
She's 15-something, and...
I thought she was 13.
Close to 15, I think. It's hard to say, but, you know, some cats, some animals, they just don't live that long, you know what I mean? Genetic problems and just whatever. That liver, what happened to her liver may have had something to do with eating lizards, because I know that she's eaten a few lizards. And lizards can carry something like a virus or bacteria.
Yeah, we try to keep them from doing that but we can't always
liver.
Catch them. Pookie usually doesn't eat them. Pookie catches them and then runs to the door with them in her mouth going, look what I got!
Yeah, she doesn't kill anything she catches at first. She's not trying to kill it. She kills it accidentally playing with it.
Yeah, she just wants to play
she
with it.
She brought me the damn flying squirrel. And I said, if I took it away, it bit the shit out of me. I thought it was a baby flying squirrel. I didn't realize that flying squirrels were that size. They're tiny. They're like the size of a chipmunk.
That poor little squirrel was just like,
Yeah.
I was into Dragon's Mouth.
Yeah. It's funny shit.
He was okay though. Yeah. She didn't hurt. She didn't hurt him. She would have
eventually
if we hadn't like seen her.
Well, she kind of gets bored. As long as it's moving, she'll play with it. When it stops moving, she'll get bored with it and walk away from it.
Yeah.
And that's how a lot of the lizards get away.
Yeah, because they're just like, shit.
They stop moving.
I'm dead.
Yeah, they stop moving.
And then she's like, nah, she it's leaves no fun it. Anymore.
Yeah.
And then they're like,
a squirrel will do the same thing.
Yeah.
Eventually, they'll fucking get so terrified, they'll stop moving, start playing dead. And sometimes the cat will walk away from them.
Well, it's an effective strategy.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of animals
Because a lot of times they don't want to eat them, they just want to play with them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think the squirrel knows that. I think it's just something that evolved and a behavior that evolved in them. That you only fight for a certain amount. When you can't win the fight, then just kind of give up and accept it. And then a lot of times you get let go, so that gets reinforced in the gene pool.
Yeah.
So they go on to fucking spread that gene.
Honestly, I think Pookie mostly likes to play with the animals, but also she likes to show them to us.
Yeah.
Like, because she'll bring it right to the door. Yeah. Look.
Yeah.
And then we're like, oh, good one. But she lets us take it away.
When I walked out there, I hit the flashlight on her and saw two sets of eyes. I'm like, what animal is that? She fucking walks towards me just a little bit and goes, look at that. It's a fucking squirrel. A raccoon. She's hanging out with a raccoon.
They were sitting next to each other under the tree. Yeah, raccoon
was sitting there on the ground and she's like, look. What kind of cat is that? You know? And she'll run after possums and go, ugh. She'll run up to it, and as soon as she gets to it, she stops and goes, ugh, that thing's nasty. Oh, look at that thing. Oh, look at it. Oh, and the fucking raccoons, the possums are running, trying to get away. Fucking funny. That's a big rat. Look at that thing. Oh.
They're both Beijing and Pookie are fascinated by raccoons, though.
Yeah.
I think they think they're just like pretty cats.
Super cute cats.
Like super cute cats. With little burglar masks on.
I went out in the back porch and I was walking to the back door, and it's a sliding glass door, just at night with the light porch lights on, just in time to catch four raccoons walking in, and Beijing was on the damn chair behind the fucking lawn chair table or whatever you call it. And Beijing stands up and sees these four raccoons coming, and she looks down like that, and they all just start nose to nose, all four of them, and she's sitting there, hey, and you know, what are these things? Whoa! And I'm
you
like,
have fluffy tails like me.
Yeah, and I was tripping out. She was just like loving on these four raccoons, and the raccoons are standing up and looking at her and going, wow, what kind of cat is that? And then the raccoons saw me. And they all scurried away.
There's like, oh, here's the humans. Oh, cheese it.
Yeah. It's funny.
Cats are hilarious.
Yeah, but evidently, there's a lot of stuff on YouTube of cats and raccoons, and they evidently, they get along.
That's so weird.
You would think that they would kill each other, but no, they get along.
Yeah, I don't know why that is.
Because raccoons can be mean.
Yeah.
Depending on if it's a big male raccoon, if it's trapped and scared, it'll fight you. I had to jump into a fucking dumpster one time and get a raccoon out of a dumpster.
Aw.
Yeah. Or it would have been dumped. Oh. I got it. I was like, how am I going to get this thing out? And I had gloves and shit. There was a empty cardboard box in there. And I put that cardboard box up around the corner, in the corner, and walked the other way and tricked him into going to the box, and I shut it. That's how I did it.
Oh, good idea.
And
then
handed the box out to my buddy, and he took it. It was in there fighting.
I'm we in set a it box. Down.
He comes up out of the box and looks at us. The box falls over. He looks at us and he goes, just stands there looking at us and goes, oh shit. And he runs.
He's like,
there's two of them.
But thanks, man.
We don't know how long. We don't know how long it was in the dumpster. At least 2 days.
Oh shit.
So, you know, he was happy to be out.
Well, I guess so.
Yeah.
He's like, this was a mistake. I got in here because something smelled yummy and then I couldn't get back out.
Yeah. Because it was an empty dumpster.
Live and learn.
It was pretty much an empty dumpster.
Yeah.
So there's nothing to climb up on to get back out.
Right.
Couldn't jump out. The lids were closed.
Oh.
So he opened up, went in.
Well, at least you got him out of there.
Guess he learned. Don't jump into any old dumpster.
Well, hopefully he learned not to do that anymore.
You can't get back out. Yeah.
You saved a life that day.
Yeah, saved a fucking life.
All right. So that'll do it for today's fun stream. We'll be back tomorrow and talk about another movie, probably. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see you guys later. Bye.